Welcome back to HN Pod, the daily podcast where we dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and joining me as always is Mike.
Hey everyone, it is great to be here for episode 438. We have a really fascinating lineup for you today, covering the top stories from yesterday, June 25th, 2026.
We really do. Today we are looking at a massive breakthrough in archaeology, driven by machine learning. A really cool new tool for visualizing Hacker News history, some painful news for anyone looking to buy an Apple device soon, a heavy dose of late 90s gaming nostalgia right in your browser, and finally, we'll be taking some time to remember a true legend of tech journalism who sadly passed away.
Let us jump right into our first story, which absolutely dominated the front page yesterday with over 1,000 points. For the first time ever, an entire Herculaneum scroll has been virtually unwrapped and read.
This is just an incredible story. For context, these are scrolls from the Library of Herculaneum that were carbonized by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius back in 79 AD. For almost 2,000 years, they have just been these blackened, fragile lumps of carbon. If you tried to open them physically, they would just crumble to dust. But the Vesuvius Challenge team has managed to read an entire scroll, known as Scroll 4, without ever touching its pages.
Right, they used high-resolution phase contrast X-ray microtomography. Basically, they took incredibly detailed 3D X-rays at a particle accelerator in France, reconstructed the spiraled layers of the papyrus inside a computer, flattened it out virtually, and then used machine learning models to detect the faint traces of ancient ink. And the result is roughly 1.4 meters of papyrus and 22 columns of Greek text.
And it's not just random words anymore. The text they recovered is a philosophical treatise on ethics. The evidence points to it being a Stoic work from the 2nd century BC, discussing human nature and moral progress. They even found a name, Aristocreon, who was a disciple of the famous Stoic philosopher Chrysippus.
The comment section on this one was incredibly reflective. A user named CodeYouLike posted a comment that really captured the magic of this. They pointed out that when Aristocreon wrote this down around 200 BC, he might have hoped it would survive in a library for a few centuries. He never could have imagined a volcano destroying the town, but perfectly preserving his words, and that 2 millennia later, humans would read it using machines made of materials distantly related to sand and lightning, and then instantly beam it to the entire planet.
Sand and lightning. I love that description of silicon and electricity. It sparked this whole debate in the thread about whether modern science fiction writers can even imagine something as dizzyingly far from our current reality as we are from Aristocreon's time. Some people argued that we encode data in DNA now, which is pretty wild, while others pointed out that the ancients might actually be more surprised by things like social media destroying our attention spans than by the technology itself.
It is a massive victory for open science, too. The organizers released all the data, the code, and the reconstructions to the public. They basically crowdsourced the decoding of antiquity. Hundreds more scrolls are still waiting to be read. So this is really just the beginning of unlocking an entire lost library.
Moving from ancient history to internet history, our next story is a Show HN project called Hacker News Trends. It was built by a user named YT Kamirti, and it is exactly what it sounds like. It is Google Trends, but built specifically for 18 years of Hacker News comments.
This is one of those tools where you click the link and suddenly an hour has vanished. The creator indexed over 45 million posts and comments using Upstash Redis search. You can type in any topic, tool, or person and see a live date histogram of how often they were mentioned over the years.
The preloaded comparisons are like a walk down memory lane for software engineers. You can literally see the front-end framework wars play out on a timeline. You watch Angular dominate around 2013, then Vue rises up, and then Svelte takes the crown recently. Or you can look at the database lead swap, where MySQL owns the conversation early on, and then Postgres just steadily climbs up and overtakes it.
My favorite was looking at the artificial intelligence timeline. You have this massive wall when ChatGPT launches in late 2022, and then you see OpenAI dominating the conversation until Anthropic suddenly surges and catches up in 2026. It is a perfect visual representation of the hype cycles we live through every day on this site.
But of course, because this is Hacker News, the top comment thread completely derailed into a highly technical and slightly aggressive legal debate. A user popped in to say they already host a publicly open ClickHouse database with Hacker News data that updates in real time.
Right, and another user immediately replied asking to have their data removed from that set, citing the Hacker News terms and conditions, which then led to a massive argument about copyright law, the MIT license, and whether scraping user content for an API violates the rights of the original commenters.
It was peak Hacker News. One user pointed out that uploading content grants Y Combinator a perpetual license, and another argued about the difference between licensing software versus licensing a dataset. Somebody even dropped a Michael Scott I Declare Bankruptcy reference just to lighten the mood. But legal debates aside, the tool itself is beautifully designed and a really fun way to explore what this community has cared about over the last two decades.
Speaking of things people care about, let us talk about our wallets. Our third story is a report from Reuters that Apple is raising prices across the board on MacBooks, iPads, and other devices. And these are not small bumps.
No, they are not. The comments did a great job summarizing the damage. The base MacBook Air is going up by $200. The M5 Pro MacBook Pro is jumping from $2199 to $2499. The Vision Pro is up to $3699. Even the Apple TV 4K, which has been relatively cheap, is jumping from $129 to $199.
The driving force behind this seems to be skyrocketing memory costs. RAM and SSD prices have been brutal lately, but as the commenters quickly pointed out, Apple is not alone in this. Microsoft actually announced their third Xbox price hike just yesterday, raising console prices by $100 to $150 depending on the storage size.
That was a huge point of discussion. People are realizing that literally anything with memory in it is getting more expensive. Someone noted that Microsoft executives have said RAM and storage prices have increased 2.5 times since late 2025, and they expect it to double again by late 2027.
The Apple TV price hike really caught people off guard, though. It's an older product line, and usually those prices drop, not spike, by over 50%. Some commenters theorize that Apple is factoring in the price of an upcoming hardware revision so that when the new model drops, the high price tag will not be the main headline.
There was also a lot of frustration in the thread about how artificial intelligence is impacting the broader hardware market. One commenter mentioned looking at a MacBook with 128 gigabytes of RAM for local AI work, and the price had jumped from around £5,500 to £7,000. People are feeling like the massive corporate demand for AI compute is sucking up all the resources and making basic computing hardware unaffordable for regular consumers and developers.
It definitely makes you want to hold on to your current laptop for a few more years. But if you need a distraction from the hardware prices, our next story is perfect. Someone ported the classic game Half-Life 2 to run entirely in a web browser using WebAssembly.
This was so cool. You just click a link, it downloads the assets, and suddenly you are playing one of the greatest first-person shooters of all time right in your browser tab. The performance on modern machines, especially Apple Silicon, is shockingly smooth. One user mentioned running it flawlessly on a Mac at a 6K resolution.
What I loved most about this post was what happened in the comments. It turned into this massive directory of classic games that have been ported to the web. People were sharing links to Quake 3, Unreal Tournament, the original Doom 3, Diablo, and even Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Yes, and someone linked to a web version of Ultima Online, which is actually sanctioned by the official servers. The maintainer of that project chimed in to explain some of the technical hurdles, like how Firefox is missing support for certain file system access APIs, which makes it harder to run these complex web apps compared to Chrome.
It sparked a really interesting conversation about the state of the web. One commenter pointed out the irony that all these amazing WebAssembly ports are focused on nostalgia games from the late 90s and early 2000s. They talked about missing that era of the internet when things felt more creative, less centralized, and you did not have megacorporations locking down ecosystems.
It is a valid point. Back then, the web felt like the Wild West, and now we're using the most advanced web technologies available just to simulate what we had 25 years ago. But honestly, being able to boot up RuneScape or Command & Conquer Red Alert 2 in a browser tab during a lunch break is a pretty great use of modern technology.
I completely agree. Now, for our final story today, we have to take a much more somber tone. The tech community lost a giant yesterday. Om Malik, the legendary technology writer, investor, and founder of GigaOm, passed away at the age of 60 due to heart complications.
This news hit the Hacker News community really hard. For our younger listeners who might not be familiar with him, Om was truly the godfather of early tech blogging.
He started GigaOM back in the early 2000s, and he was one of the first people to really understand and chronicle the rise of broadband, the dot-com bust, and the Web 2.0 era.
The comments on this thread were incredibly moving. So many people shared personal stories about how kind and generous he was. One user mentioned starting a tiny, unknown blog years ago, and OM found it, linked to it, and gave them the encouragement they needed to keep writing. He was famous for lifting people up and never treating other writers as competition.
Someone brought up his book, Broad Bandits, which he wrote after the dot-com crash. He was never afraid to call out the excesses and the bad behavior of telecom executives, but he always did it with a focus on the human impact. He had this motto on his personal site, which was to write like a human, steering clear of jargon and business school speak. And he really lived by that.
He did. He had a major health scare with his heart when he was in his early 40s, which forced him to step back from the daily grind of running a media empire. After that, he focused a lot more on venture capital, but also on his personal passions, especially photography. He was a massive fan of Leica cameras, and his personal blog was full of these beautiful, thoughtful photo essays.
A commenter named Casey Newton shared a story about asking OM for advice years ago. OM told him, "Never name your blog after yourself." It is funny, but it also shows how humble he was, even though GigaOM literally had his name in it. He realized the burden of making yourself the brand.
It is clear from the outpouring of love that he left a massive mark on Silicon Valley. He represented a side of the tech industry that we do not always see anymore, a side based on genuine curiosity, mentorship, and helping others succeed with no strings attached. He will be deeply missed by everyone who read his work or had the pleasure of crossing paths with him.
He absolutely will. Our thoughts go out to his family and friends. It is a huge loss for the tech world.
That wraps up our coverage for today. Thank you all for listening and spending part of your day with us.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News. Until then, take care of yourselves and maybe take a moment today to read something written by a human. See you tomorrow.